Welcome to Double Take. Critical, sometimes confrontational, but always amusing conversations about movies. Double Take is a Cinema Classics production produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. I'm Johnny DiLoretto.
I'm John DeSando. This is Double Take.
Indeed it is.
Who gets 2 pages in the New York Times Magazine, huh?
None other than the incomparable Michael Keaton.
Boy, now there are actually people listening to our show. I'm not sure about our listener, but there are some people who don't know who Michael Keaton is.
Who are these idiots?
I don't know this
one. You know what? I don't. Is that true?
You think? No, people, I think they once
younger
you say
people maybe?
Once you say Batman or whatever, they you know they may know it.
What an interesting career he's had.
Yeah,
Michael Keaton was a favorite of mine from going as far back as when I was 12 or 11, or when I first saw Night Shift, which to me remains one of the great comedy performances of all time. Followed up by Mr. Mom. He had a nice little run there. And then dropped off. He had a couple of flops before he made Beetlejuice and Batman and was back on top.
Boy.
And then he lost it again. At some point in the late 90s, early 2000s, he seemed to really just kind of drop off of the radar. Made a lot of crap like White Noise. But Birdman, big Oscar nom comeback.
I love that film. I know it's not a favorite of yours.
And now he just steadily works. And he turns in all this, even if the movies are crap, since he's no longer carrying them, you get like a nice little jolt of Michael Keaton. He's always a welcome addition to any movie.
I think he's terrific in The Protégé.
Okay,
he plays the heavy.
He's got this one out in theaters right now, right?
Yeah, and it's romantic, as well as being tough.
Yeah.
Very good. But recently.
So here's this movie, Worth.
Yeah.
That you can see him. He's carrying pretty much the entire film. And Worth is about Kenneth Feinberg. Is that who it is?
That's correct.
The attorney who oversaw the sort of the compensation, the government's compensation of the families of
the victims.
9/11.
A compensation fund.
Yes, right. So we're talking about Michael Keaton. We're talking about docudramas. But how does Worth hold up? How does it stand up? What's your take on this movie?
My take on it is it's absorbing. It's so because 9/11 is so much a part of our DNA now. It's interesting to see how somebody can have a bit of a different take. The different take is you have only a couple of seconds of the shots of the buildings being destroyed.
Yeah.
Beyond that is the most interesting human question: how do you put a value on a human being? And you have thousands of people who want reparations. The government is quite willing to do that, and they engage or he volunteers, thinking that it's going to be like his other conflict resolution cases, easy.
Yeah. it really does get at some quintessentially American questions.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and that's where, like, I feel like maybe the movie doesn't do as good a job as it might have really digging its heels into that question that it asks.
I know.
So, you know, here are all these people, and one of them might be a CEO, one of them might have been a janitor.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you're going to tell me that the CEO's life was worth more than the janitor,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it really does come, it basically, if you lay the heart of the question bare, it is he who makes the most money is worth the most in this country.
Well, let's just say the rich are not happy with any formula that doesn't put them on top.
Yeah, it's so gross.
And but yet it's kind of understandable unless
it's really
you get into the human element.
Here's my thing. Look, and this is what I wish the movie got into more. The CEO presumably, you know, departs this world with a sizable life insurance policy that the family will benefit from. That family will probably continue to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Right? Now, whereas the sole breadwinner janitor dies, even with that life insurance fund, it's not going to necessarily change those people's lives. But just a paltry percentage of that could change those people's lives and keep them secure, right? Yeah. I mean, it's grotesque, really.
And the very fact that we are, in a sense, debating this issue is how difficult it must have been for Feinberg and his associates to come to a conclusion. Because once they face the public, it's clear it's a whole different game. It's
Michael Keaton makes this character.
Oh, he is
so much more likable. Humanizes this guy. I don't know Kenneth Feinberg, obviously not personally, and I can barely place his face.
I think they had
I vaguely remember a
documentary on it.
But
on him,
I can only imagine what this guy.
He's
was
a
like
tight. He's tight as wire rimmed.
Yeah,
accounting type.
Yeah,
but he does have heart. And this is what Keaton brings into it, but he has even his physical tics down, but he doesn't try to imitate him.
He's doing his Boston accent.
Yes, it always annoys me, but he does a good job.
Yeah, he does a good job.
I don't know why they bother to have accents.
I don't know.
I know.
Verisimilitude, I guess.
I know it is.
you know, the movie sort of, I think, just sort of evaporates in the mind. There's not a whole lot here that sticks to the ribs. We get the central premise. You know, I always have this problem with a lot of these made-for-Netflix movies. They feel like they're done by the numbers.
I'm trying not like to generalize because
they feel like they're done so quickly.
They're soft.
They are. They just kind of like they're handsomely produced, competently edited, shot, but there's not a whole lot of soul in these movies.
I know. And they seem
a movie like this, I feel, requires a little bit of soul.
I wonder
if they were. It requires more than a little bit of.
Yeah, I wonder if they were the producers of The Founder, which I thought had much more guts.
Talking about another docudrama starring Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
I was wondering that myself. I can't remember if they did it or
even
not.
Even so.
I don't know if Netflix did it, but it does have that feel
yes,
to it, right?
Yes, exactly.
He is. Another one Michael Keaton turns up in, docudrama. Is the trial of the Chicago 7.
Oh, right. And he plays the attorney general or something. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
He's good.
He's very good. in a key little role there. It's more or less a cameo. I think he only has a total of probably 5 minutes of screen time.
What I like about Keaton is that you expect him to go into some Beetlejuice riff.
Mm-hmm.
And when he plays it straight and underplays it, he's really impressive.
He can be really authoritative.
Yeah.
Right? He's great. I noticed that he did another one. He did, so he's been in Worth, Trial of Chicago 7, The Founder, which you just mentioned,
yes.
And the Oscar-winning Spotlight.
And Spotlight, he plays the editor, I think.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Good one.
Another Boston movie.
Yeah, right.
He's another Boston accent.
He's fortunate to be in it. And one that I'll just mention because it's different from these and it's not a docudrama, but I just want to point out he also can do Shakespeare even though he has no training in Shakespeare. He played Dogberry in Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah, that was what I was talking about earlier when I said, you know, at the height of his post-Batman career.
Okay.
He was able to do some interesting stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. You're listening to Double Take, critical, sometimes confrontational, always amusing conversations about movies. We're talking about Michael Keaton heads up Worth, a docudrama about Kenneth Feinberg putting together the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund. You mentioned something when we were talking about docudramas the other day. You said one of your favorite docudramas
I've got two, but I got the one.
No, go ahead.
Dog Day Afternoon.
And my first instinct, I said no.
I know, and I understood why.
But
it's too loose for you.
Listen, brace yourself. Do you have a seatbelt? I was wrong.
Oh.
I think you're right. When I started to think about the breadth and scope of what a docudrama is, I have to admit that I do believe Dog Day Afternoon falls under that umbrella.
Yes.
Now, my favorite docudrama of all time is
All
the President's Men.
I agree with you on that one, too.
And I started thinking about it. I don't want to belabor All the President's Men because I think we've talked about it at length before. But I was trying to think what makes it such a powerful and still powerfully effective and moving docudrama all these many years later. And one, it's got to be the star chemistry there.
That is a major element.
When you look back on all these docudramas, oftentimes one of them is, you know, there's a big star in it. But to have these two big powerhouse charismatic,
charming their way right
personalities,
through this.
Right?
Oh boy, yes.
And big, two of the biggest stars of the time.
Yeah.
Sharing the screen, equally sharing the screen.
Yeah.
You cannot discount the electricity of that chemistry.
But you said something to me the other day when we were talking about this, and I think you were right. This is that All the President's Men seems closer to the reality.
Yeah, it does. And I like I said, I'm trying to figure this out. I think, okay, so you have the chemistry that really just sells it, right? But I think in terms of story, it's so drilled down to that laser focus on Watergate.
Yep.
And there's no big crazy buildup. We see, the film opens with, you know, the fumbled burglary, and then boom, you're right into these guys, you know, covering it,
yep,
trying to figure it out, and then the investigation just goes deeper. I think it's the laser sharp focus,
yep,
of the narrative, coupled with the chemistry and just, you know, a really smart script.
In some way, in a much lesser order, I know, and we've mentioned it, Spotlight has that same feel to me, but not at all the glamour.
Not at all the glamour, and also because of it, it's like a team.
Yeah.
A lot of that charisma is sort of decentralized.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I got to say, Spotlight, you know, it's a well-made film. I enjoy Spotlight. There's something lacking there. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's some of the supporting characterizations, but the movie kind of just sort of plays out. It's not unlike one of these, you know, like we're talking about Worth or The Founder.
Yeah. I think where Spotlight goes wrong is it doesn't have the intensity, nor does it really go after the priests enough for me.
Yeah, and that's, I think, maybe what makes or breaks a docudrama, which we haven't defined yet, but I think we can all agree that it's not a biopic, right? It's something that looks at an event,
yeah,
right? More so than a person.
It dramatizes lots of license.
And I think when I think about The Founder and Spotlight and maybe what sets All the President's Men apart is a real filmmaker, a real artist looks at these events and how they unfold as a way to tell us something deeper about ourselves.
Good.
Or our human predicament or our cultural predicament, right? I think so often, too often, a lot of these movies just rely on the way the narrative unfolds,
sure,
to say this stuff for them. But you have to invest as an artist in what it means, right? A movie can't just mean what is on the
and
screen.
And I think, let me throw something in for your rubric.
Yeah.
Apollo 13.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
And how are you
because
looking
it,
at it,
it
through
unfolds,
that lens?
It unfolds as it appears to be the way it happened. But within that, there is a characterization,
mm-hmm,
and one of your requirements is that it represents something about human.
Right.
And I think that's where you – and America,
yeah,
whatever.
I mean, you use the backdrop of reality – and the natural dramatic tension of a real event to tell us something, right? To open our eyes to an internal truth. Speaking of Apollo 13, I'm glad you brought it up because another guy who's made a ton of docudrama movies is Tom Hanks.
Oh, good,
right?
Point. Right, yeah.
Captain Phillips,
yeah, hell yeah,
where he plays,
yeah,
the boat captain,
yeah,
you know, the Somali pirate,
sure,
movie.
Sure, yeah. Then
Apollo 13, as you said, The Post, which is kind of a companion piece in a way to All the President's
Men. And how about the one Sullivan there?
Sully. Right? Clint Eastwood's Sully.
Yeah.
And don't forget his other Spielberg collaboration, Bridge of Spies.
Oh, right.
So,
which is a really smoky throwback. That's,
yeah,
a good one.
Tom Hanks is, you know, quietly amassing,
yes,
you know, a third of his filmography are these docudrama,
okay,
movies.
Now, would I be accurate?
Yeah.
To throw into the pot that we have here.
Yes.
All right, and I really need some help.
Hit me.
12 Years a Slave.
Well, yeah, I would think, right?
Okay.
I mean, this is where the docudrama starts to kind of,
it does,
blur, right?
Yes, exactly.
Because I wrote down here, you know, I'm starting to think about these movies, and I said, well, clearly there's a difference between a docudrama and a biopic,
okay,
right? Because a biopic might take, either a whole life
yeah.
or a portion of a life
yeah.
and examine that, the life.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
The life and work.
Yes, right,
And a docudrama is not that. War movies,
okay.
which you could almost say 12 Years a Slave
yeah.
kind of like yeah. straddles that line.
Yeah.
So war movies also not docudramas because they're war movies and they're telling a real yeah. story, right?
Yeah.
Even though they're event focused.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
No, absolutely. And you're making me think. We don't have Private Ryan's not in here, right? It's
no,
fiction.
Save a Private Ryan is a fictional movie.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think some of the old ones, Bataan and others, which do depict an actual occurrence.
Yeah, or The Longest Day.
Right, or Dunkirk.
Yeah, Dunkirk.
Who thought, only in the outline.
Right. I don't think that you can, I think the war movie genre supersedes the docudrama, right? Or the docudrama drills down a little more, and it's less.
Yes,
it's less about a big event like
exactly.
War.
It's less heroic, less emblematic of the great spirit, the American spirit,
right?
And it's more concerned with how they can depict reality.
Yeah.
They have many other concerns than what we have, which is the historicity and the humanity put together, which is our demand for a good docudrama.
Okay, I'm going to take another. That's well put. I'm going to take another little dog leg left here,
right.
Because I want to talk about one of my other favorite docudramas, but I also want to float this idea, a question to you. Can you think of, on the spur of the moment, off the cuff here, of a docu-comedy, a movie that takes a comic view of a real event?
Whoa. Oh. I can't because it seems so antithetical to what we have talked about, which
yeah.
When you get into the historicity, I don't know how you can have, unless you said, say, Robin Williams' life story or something, which would be
a
biopic.
Good Morning Vietnam.
Yeah. All right. There
right.
You go.
That's I don't even see wow. That one straddles some weird lines because
yeah.
it's kind of about that guy.
Yes.
It's not necessarily about an event,
yes.
but it is about that part of his career. Adrian Cronauer, I think, he played the Vietnam DJ.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. But the movie that I'm talking about specifically is The Right Stuff. Do you remember The Right Stuff? 1983.
Yeah.
Philip Kaufman's adaptation of Tom Wolfe's, docu-novel about the beginning of the space program.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
And that movie there is a comic thrust to it, even though there are, it's a docudrama yeah. comedy. It's a docudramedy.
But see, this is where it gets dicey for me.
Okay.
Because where the emphasis is on exploring the comedy, it feels to me as if they're ignoring the historicity. And
in that movie in
yeah,
particular?
Yeah, yeah. And as far as I can remember, I can't remember it that well.
I'm telling you, it's not that funny.
Okay.
It is more of it has a vibrant sort of, it's light on its feet.
It's Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, yeah. But
I just wanted to pose that because my gut tells me there are movies out there that are funny docudramas.
Oh, boy.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I could. I wonder if there's any comedian on whom there is a story and they captured both the comedic element. That's why Robin Williams came to my mind.
Yeah.
I don't have anything. But is there somebody like this? Who is the fat guy who
Oh, Fatty Arbuckle.
No.
What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. No, I'm thinking of the Saturday Night Live guy or Jim Belushi.
Oh, John Belushi.
John Belushi.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, is there anything out there on Belushi where you could get the tragic and the comic together?
I don't know.
I don't know. But this is really interesting because I think it starts to blur.
It does. There are these lines that blur. One line that doesn't blur, and then we can wrap up this conversation. And I think it's probably more so than politics, the docudrama kind of really sinks its teeth into is the murder mystery, the real life murder mystery, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking as far back.
Oh,
I don't know if you'll know this.
I got one.
One.
All right, go ahead because I got one.
Jimmy Stewart. call Northside 77.
Oh, my gosh.
777. Three sevens.
All right, here's mine.
Yeah.
In Cold Blood.
Knew you were going to say that. This was my second one.
Was it on you?
I got it right there. Right after Call Northside 777.
Excellent. Now, there's a good one.
They're about 20 years apart. But if you've never seen Call Northside, it's one of Jimmy Stewart's more grittier performances.
Yeah.
It is a dour movie.
Good,
you know,
word.
Especially for 1948. Yep. He is. It's like a real life noir, actually. It's like a docudrama noir where he plays a reporter who's trying to get this guy freed out of jail. In Cold Blood, obviously, Truman Capote's.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Truman Capote, in some ways, really didn't he really kind of change?
He started it.
Right?
He is the first one really to make that form. I mean, can you imagine that? He's responsible for that form, that docudrama form.
Yeah.
And anyway, but before we leave, I did want to exit with Michael Keaton to remind you that this guy, first of all, in his Batman, his most famous Batman, $110 million.
Wow.
He must have had on the back
got
end.
Got a piece of that.
Right.
Yeah,
he must have got a. Can you imagine that? Well, he's coming out with a new Batman.
He's going to reprise his role as Batman in the new Flash.
Flash.
Movie.
That's right. Good for you. Yeah. Yeah. He's also completed one called Morbius.
Oh, yeah. That's another Marvel thing. You know, he played the villain in one of the Spider-Man movies.
Okay.
And so he's now kind of skirting the MCU as well as the DCU.
All right. Well, you know.
DCEU, sorry.
I'm not going to be looking at a docudrama anymore in the same way, darn it.
Well, that's because
I mean,
we're
I like
so
my
brilliant.
Simplistic life.
Too bad. Threw all these wrenches at you. You got to figure out what the difference between a war film, a biopic.
Oh, yeah.
Do your homework.
All right.